You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother Canada 8 recap podcast. We are here live on a Thursday night. It is March 26th, but there is no episode to talk about from tonight. We're talking about last night's episode from March 25th, the Wednesday night episode. That's because the season's canceled. The season's over. So we've got two more episodes to talk about, and this is one of them. So here we are. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me tonight is Brent. How you doing, Brent?
Hey, Taryn. Nice to see you. Always good to be here talking Big Brother Canada, even if it is canceled.
There you go. Also with us tonight is Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm good. I'm sad. You know, this it sucks to not be talking about an eviction episode and a new HOH and everything. It just kind of feels like, you know. So I'm excited to talk about the episode, but I'm sad knowing that this is almost it.
Yeah, well, let's just live in our imaginations for a moment. Let's just oh my God, I can't believe it. Sue pulled it off. They evicted Min and Carol walked right out behind her out the door. Oh my God. Oh man, we're waiting on an HOH. What is going to happen now? Oh man.
Yeah, it's great. Woo!
Real knee slapper, Taryn.
Yeah. Well, let's, you know, we gotta, what else do we have to do? Let's live in a better world.
Yeah, Carol self-evicting. That's a good one. Tell us another. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not what's happening. Last night on the episode, really not much of a mention of this show's fate throughout most of the episode. It wasn't until the end, it seemed, unless I missed something at the start.
At the start and at the end, yeah.
Oh, there was at the start.
At the start, yeah. Arissa talked to us.
How did I miss that? I just completely glossed over that, I guess. You know what? Because I was like a minute late.
Was just in the beginning.
Yep. And but I thought I caught the, because it was still in the intro, the recap. I thought I was fine. But yeah, that's so we just get like a little bit of a heads up, like, hey, show's canceled, guys. We're going to have one more episode, but here's what we have in the meantime. And it honestly wasn't a terrible episode for like the content that it has in it, in terms of like just Carol wanting to leave. It did seem like they were not shying away from just hanging her out to dry here, Brent.
Yeah, for the most part, they did give her that little line in the VR during the veto competition where she was like, I just want you to know that I just want to show Canada that I am not a quitter.
And I know.
As long as I am here, I'm going to do the best of my ability. And that's I am out there.
When she said that, I was like, this is a joke, right? Like, you're literally quitting. Like, you're trying to make it so that it's like semantics, like, oh, well, but I'm not actually quitting because they're actually voting me out. So, like,
she's never addressed. Well, for real, was it money or was it just like the appearance? Like, was it money that she needed money to get back to her family? Because if she wanted to self-evict, like with the world right now, they would have like sent her back to her family. So what in the world was the problem? Was it just that they didn't want her to self-evict because they didn't want their schedule to be off because they're already one house guest behind? I mean, was that the issue?
That's usually the issue, but I mean, the edit kind of implied that, like, actually, we're not on board with this.
Yeah,
like, we think this is dumb too.
That's what I was confused about, because the edit was, why is she holding us hostage? Why, you know, poor Sheldon worked his ass off, and now Carol has decided to crown herself HOH and nominee at the same time.
I really liked Rianne's like commentary during that, and I felt like also like it was good because she finally got like a moment. Rianne did, but I really liked that she was like, "This is it's
pathetic.
Sucks for the rest of us. Like you know, the rest of us, we're actually playing this game. We're actually trying hard, and here Carol is trying to, you know, pretend like this is all like some noble thing that she's doing by leaving, and it's not. It's a waste of all of our time."
Yeah. Carol, now that she is not in the house, has come home to her doubled followers, and is in fact,
that's all she really wanted.
She made a tweet that has proven to be not a popular tweet. She said, we live in a world where getting kicked off a show for death threats is more honorable than wanting to self-evict for mental, it's FIR, for mental health and a pandemic, SMH.
Which, let's be clear, you wanted to self-evict way before you knew anything about the pandemic. So that is off the table, lady. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shut your mouth about that.
And also, like, honestly, like, this is not she should not be going on social media right now. Like, that is not going to be a kind place for her. Like, if I were her, I would just, like, be with my family, shut everything else out. Like, I mean,
let some time pass.
Yeah, yeah, like, right. Don't look at it.
Right,
it's
now,
like,
we're
the same with Ryan.
You ruined our last week of Big Brother Canada 8. Like,
yeah, it's like when Ryan came out of the house and everyone was just like attacking him and like being like, "What were you thinking? You're so stupid." And like, it's like Ryan's turned out to be like a really great guy on social media, funny and like whatever. But you kind of have to give a minute. Let people get mad about something else, and then, you know, then you step back into the limelight.
Yeah, Bill's right. A mom told her, and then she was like, "When they go low, we go high." I'm like, "Who's the we?"
She somehow managed to double down on the two least popular things this season. She doubled down on Jamar made death threats, and his thing was justified, and is less honorable than me. And then also me, I'm honorable and everything. So
you're so right. She definitely picked the two things and like had the opposite like reactions that you're supposed to have to those things. And everyone's like, "Are you serious?" It's like, if we weren't already mad enough that she quit, now we're mad because she's saying Jamar should have been kicked out.
Mm-hmm. So
let's be clear. Like, as far as I know, besides Kyle, she's literally the only person saying that Jamar should have been kicked out. And Maddie has been on Instagram saying that it was Kyle and Vanessa who were saying under their breaths into their microphones that they were afraid or uncomfortable when Jamar was in the diary room. So, a lot of tea coming out.
Yeah, I believe Kyle has attempted to make the claim that, like, he wasn't trying to play it up, that he just said one thing to production, but that it was Vanessa who was really saying that she felt uncomfortable. But Maddie has said, "I heard him, like, whispering into the mic over and over about how Jamar needed to leave," or something along those lines. And then I guess Hira has also recently said that he felt like Kyle was trying to rile him up and get him to complain as well. So
yeah,
not a great look.
Not a great look.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's the Cal situation. But in the episode, like I said, we're seeing Carol. She's saying that she wants to win the veto so that she has the honor of not using it on herself and sending herself home.
It's just like rubbing it in everybody's faces that you're not respecting the game. It's like, you're making a mockery of this game. And then when she'd like smile in the DR and be like, "I'm just not going to use the veto." And it's like, okay, like, great. Now you're making us even more upset. Like, I just feel like it takes any respect out of, yeah. I mean, I feel like we're harping too much on this. Cause it's like, okay, we've already discussed it. We said that she, you know, shouldn't have quit and all that, but the episode was like fully centered on her quitting. Like, there's nothing else every to talk part about. Of it was like, there was some to
talk about. We can talk about the, you know, Sheldon and Brooks' strategic positioning for the rest of the season, but that doesn't mean a hill of beans. The only thing we have to talk about is the fact that Carol held our last week of Big Brother hostage. So whatever.
Yeah, and I expect this podcast to not be much of a long one, to be honest, because the Carol thing is really the only thing to talk about. We can update you on some of what we've, you know, a little bit of what we've heard on social media from the players. But you know, a lot of the podcast is often like speculation about what's going to happen and what everything means. But there's, you know, it's not really of use to anyone right now. So these are just going to be like quick little, you know, recap updates on where we're at in terms of the end of the show. Of course, we're gonna have one final one. I think next week's recap will be a little more in terms of like really right. discussing the end of the show. We're gonna see a lot that we haven't seen before. In this episode, we saw their second update on the virus. They learned about no sports. They learned about a lot more things. And again, very emotional and really has me convinced. I'm like, oh, wow, it's going to be so brutal to watch them learn that the season's over. Like, they are going to be devastated. It's going to be really emotional. I don't know how I'm going to handle it, Melissa.
Yeah, I totally teared up like watching that sequence when they're learning more about it and they're, you know, still worried about their families, but then they're finding out that their families are still okay. I mean, like, I get that like relief that they're feeling and also like the fear. And so it was emotional, and I definitely think the next episode is going to be emotional. I mean, to find out that your whole game is over, especially for some of these people who like have been building this game the whole time, and they know they're super fans, and they know that if they come back to play, it will not be the same. Like we talked about on the roundtable, everyone will know their strategy. They'll know like who's playing who and what's, you know, what their, you know, underlying game is and all that. And it's going to be sad.
Yeah. I mean, from what I've seen of the evictors on social media, they are already sort of beating the drum of, wow, Brooke and Sheldon. Wow. They are bad people. I can't believe they lied in the house so much. We were such great people. We were so honest and truthful and loyal to each other. We were playing the game in the right way. It's like, get Michael away from these people. He's infecting them with his.
Yeah, it's mostly Michael. Michael is the one who's like, who thinks he has all the information and thus is telling Maddie and JL and Rianne like, oh, you guys were doing it the right way. Like we were the ones who were loyal. We were the ones that the fans were rooting for. Which, to be fair, as the season wore on, more people were rooting for them. But that was only by consequence of the fact that they were more of an underdog and didn't know what the hell they were doing.
It had nothing to do with their loyalty to one another or their honesty in the game.
That's the thing I hate most about the game is loyalty.
And so you know, it's pretty frustrating to watch, to be honest. I'm like trying to parse out information, like I'm reading what people think, and I'm trying to, first of all, Instagram, I hate Instagram. These Instagram lives, having to try to like go through these people are like talking to each other for 3 hours, mostly about like stuff I don't care about,
right?
And I'm trying to like get, like, you can't, there's no seeking function. You have to just like skip a certain amount back and forth that you can't even tell where you're at and the thing. It's so annoying.
So terrible. I hate Instagram. I really do. I'm only on Instagram because I have to be. But I'm mostly on Twitter because that's where I love to live.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm hearing Michael say things like, you know, what happened during the season is that, you know, it's really the game of Big Brother is all about who sets the lowest bar in terms of what you're willing to do to play the game.
Oh,
and Kyle set such a low bar for our season. You know, previous seasons, all the previous seasons, you know, they have a much higher bar. You know, people don't stoop to that level. You don't see that kind of thing on other seasons. Like, I think like the worst thing, like, I think Kayla swore on her cat one time. Like, that's the worst thing that's ever happened in the show before, right? But
just
Kyle,
showing what a recruit he is. Yeah.
Kyle this season You know, someone like Dane played with integrity, right? Kyle this season really set the bar low, so early, and really ruined it for the rest of us. Luckily, I was there to call him out, and that's why he didn't. He wasn't going to win the game. But yeah, it was so unfortunate. You know, if we had just had one more week, us evictors, we really would have ran that game. So
thank God they didn't have one more week. That would have been so terrible. Can you imagine if the evictors were just like running the house? Everyone would hate them. They're lucky that they didn't run the house, because now they're considered quote unquote underdogs. And so people like them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's the whole point of Big Brother. I mean, not the point of Big Brother is to do what it takes to win. And if that includes lying or backstabbing or, you know, whatever, that's the game. So the game is not about honesty. No one wants to see an honest game. No one cares about that. Loyal game, whatever. That's so boring. That's so played out. That's so lame. So Michael is totally off base. And I generally like his social media presence. But if he's touting that information, it's wrong. It's false information. And yeah, people should not be listening to him.
Take the win. Like, you were on the right side of the Jamar situation. That won you so much goodwill. Just take the win. You don't need to do anything else with it.
Yeah, just like you see. And also, it's one of those things where it's like, you see what the people like. You're on social media. You see what people are saying. You see whatever. Like, it's easy for you to, like, pick the right people to befriend and, like, do all that stuff because you know what people are thinking. But if he's going to sit there and, like, just take all that goodwill he got from the Jamar situation and just like throw it all away with this, it's like, oh, you didn't learn anything.
I
saw something that Tammy said in the chat. Tammy said, according to Jamar, he said the diary room forgave him and was ready to move on if, like, Jamar apologized. That's, I'm adding that in, but that's what she's trying to say, until Kyle talked to production. And I will say that unofficially, that's what I've heard as well.
Yeah, story checks out. Like,
yeah, that's what I have heard as well. That Jamar, that the production was okay with Jamar, everything was okay until Kyle and maybe Vanessa complained to production, either via their microphones or some other way, we don't know. But then once that happened, they gave Jamar the hook.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of this, but I've also heard that, like, Kyle is like calling us out, calling us podcasters out.
Oh, well.
For
hello,
yeah,
hi.
So,
I'll be here long, like, after you're gone.
Here's the thing: is that, like, I believe that to play Big Brother, you should do whatever it takes to win, but I don't think that using production as a strategy, it should be included in that whatever it takes. I don't think that that,
of course,
is fair. I think it's like within bounds of the game, you can lie, you can cheat. Well, not cheat, whatever. You can lie and you can, you know.
We know what you mean. We know.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I think.
Lie, cheat, steal. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's taking it too far when you are using outside forces to win. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I think that if that hadn't happened, like, I thought Kyle was playing a decent game. You know, like, I don't think that he was playing such a horrible game because he was lying or whatever. I think it was literally just that he used production as a strategy, and that's something I don't appreciate.
Yeah, and for the record, I disagree with Kyle's ejection. I don't think he should have been ejected from the game.
Uh-uh.
I don't think Jamar should have been ejected from the game. I don't think either of them should have been. I think Kyle has every right to be mad at production for kicking him out in the way that they did.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. And I think that it's a situation where Kyle's complaining to production saying, like, oh, I feel uncomfortable. And production should have been like, okay, stop it. That's enough. And then just, like, gone back to playing the game. Like, they shouldn't have been like, oh no, now we have to kick out Jamar. Oh no, now we have to kick out Kyle. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, there's really not a whole lot else going on in the episode. Apart from, you know, we hear from Sue that she really wants to get Min out of the game. We hear from, we see JL get, the slop pass thing.
That was cute. I like that. I was, JL was really growing on me there at the end. And so to see him get a little bit of love from the fans was fun to see.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and you know, you see Sue make the pitch. We see this conversation that happened in the HOH room with Sue, Sheldon, and Brooke about like, should we try and flip things? I love that they included Sheldon's line, like, no, you know what? Savage is holding us all hostage and forcing us to do this. I was like, yes. But yeah, like I said, this is just really the Carol situation. It's like the whole episode.
That literally was the whole episode. And it was like, even when it wasn't about that, it was like they'd intersplice like a clip of her in the DR, like with some quip about how she's leaving, like about how she's like, I'm my own executioner or whatever.
Right. Also, the fact that Rianne was in the diary room talking about the fact that the evictors were sort of on board with Min, like it was an uneasy alliance, but they really didn't want her going anywhere because they needed her as a number. And that really, like, I love it when you have a chaotic presence like Min in the house where it's not really advantageous for anybody necessarily to go after, except for the guy who happened to get HOH, which was Sheldon. But again, his HOH was overtaken by Carol, so Min was going to dodge another bullet. And then, you know, like, he can't win HOH 3 weeks in a row, so Min was probably going to be safe next week no matter what. And I was really looking forward to seeing if she could make a run at it, but...
Yeah, and that diary room mirrors the conversations that Rianne had with Sheldon about Min. That was basically like, we don't, like, she's fine. Like, she's going after Sue. Okay. Sorry, Sue, but you're expendable. And so it really was a situation. I think the only person that would have actively, or no, two people, but Angie probably wasn't going to win. But Sue was really the only person that would have actively gone after Min in the next week.
There was a point in the episode where they were talking about the Carol plan, and then the announcer came on and said, but the gamers decided that they didn't like this plan. And it's like Angie talking about, this isn't what I came for Big Brother to. I didn't come for Big Brother to do this. I'm like, you are not
the gamers.
You are not telling us that Angie is the gamer. Come on.
You're like, no, no.
Honestly, but the gamers.
That's a good impression too.
Thank you.
It sucks. This whole thing sucks. Like I was so looking forward to seeing how this whole thing would play out. And I feel like it still hasn't truly set in that it's over. Cause I keep thinking like, okay, but yeah, well, okay. Like, okay. Commentary aside, like, but what are they going to do now? It's like, well, no, like they're not going to do anything because the game is over. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I still haven't gotten it in my mind yet.
It's going to be very weird on Wednesday's episode next week where, you know, I'm sure production's going to come on and tell them that the game is over, but like, they're going to be like, is it a Topaz situation where like they're screwing with us or serious? Like,
trick us into revealing all of our alliances.
Yeah. Big Brother Canada. God. Like once you open that door with the Topaz, the thing that they did with Topaz, like, I mean, with, you know, for those of you who don't remember, Big Brother Canada won Topaz, had one HOH.
Yeah. There's two Topaz situations.
Yeah, exactly. I just realized that. Yeah. The first Topaz situation was, it was Big Brother Canada 1. She won HOH. It was an instant eviction, I believe. She had a fast eviction. She had to make her nominations right away. She was in the HOH room. They told her, you know, like, think about who you want to nominate. And I think they, like, unofficially
talk through
asked
your
her,
thoughts. Yeah.
Talk through your thoughts, right? But then they showed her talking through her thoughts on the television screen in the living room where everybody could see her. So they literally exposed her. That's why the next season, when you see Aika shredding the letters and everybody watching her on camera, when Aika goes back inside and Adele says, they topazed you. That's what he means. They're not talking about the screw up with Topaz at the end with the key. They're talking about the fact that they revealed confidential information to the house guest by way of the video camera in the living room. So, once you open that door, it's really hard to get people to open up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I probably wouldn't believe it. Like, they tell me, okay, the game's over, reveal your stuff,
reveal
whatever.
Anything.
I wouldn't say anything. I'd be like, cool, guys, thanks. Like, all right.
And
I'd wait till I'm out the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally walking out the door. Then I'd be like, oh, I guess this is over.
Yeah. I'm seeing a quote here from Kyle. It says, it's so funny listening to the podcast hosts who watch the feeds all night and day and think that they understand what's going on in there.
I hate that stupid fallback of like,
it doesn't even make sense.
You don't know the feeds. Like you that not everything is shown on the live feeds. Like there's so much that's not shown. And it's like, yeah, but we're commenting on things that were shown. So
we're
like
called live feed.
Yeah. Like
live as in we get to see everything that's happening while you didn't, while you were playing in the house.
Yeah.
You only remember what you remember. While you were talking in this room, other people were having a conversation in this room. And somebody else was having a conversation in the hot tub out in the back.
And I'm sure that there are some times where there are like cameras not on certain people, but like we're not commenting on things like that. We're commenting on things we've seen.
Yep.
So the stuff that we saw, that's what we're commenting on. We're not speculating as to like, oh, but probably in the other camera, like that wasn't shown to us, this happened. It's like,
he doesn't even understand. Like we understand the way things work in Big Brother. So, yeah. You know, just because somebody's having a conversation with somebody, we don't take it at face value. We recognize that we have to understand like who was in the room when they were having that conversation. Like, were they editing their conversation? Because, you know, Sue was in the room and they didn't want to say anything about the fact that she's totally expendable this week. Like, I mean, but on the other hand, if Brooke and Sheldon are having a conversation, we know that that conversation is going to be 100% honest mm-hmm. for the most part, unless Brooke is hiding from something from Sheldon, which so far up until this point, she has never shown an ability to do. So, you know, we're pros at this, man. What are you doing?
Yeah. And we've spoken both on and off the record with countless past players from mm-hmm. both
we're on
countries.
Your side. What are you like, talking about?
Yeah. Like I know more about Big Brother than Kyle will ever know in his entire life. And he was on the show.
Yes. So
that is the truth, actually.
All right. So that's that. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. We did see Hira in the episode. I thought was this was interesting that he won this veto. And a lot of us talked about how, you know, how it like. Was this the right decision for Hira to win a veto here when it didn't matter? I thought it was interesting that from Hira's perspective, he was saying, I really want to win this one. I know it doesn't matter, but I want to win this one because I want it on my resume, that this game is about having as many competitions as I can on my resume so that I can win in the end, which I think is not a bad take. I think that he is right that competitions matter a lot in Big Brother, especially nowadays. And you probably can't get close to a win without having some amount of competitions under your belt. And competitions, when you respect, they allow you, you know, more freedom in the house to play in regards to that. But I still don't think this was the right call for Hira. I still feel like mm-hmm. he already won a competition and it was the best kind of competition to win because it saved himself from the block. That's the most amount of respect that you can ever get by winning a competition. A lot mm-hmm. of people respect him in this game already. His social game is so on point. Everybody loves Hira. If Hira got to the end with just one competition, I think he still has a shot to win. And chances are, if he makes it to the end, he's going to have won more than one competition. And I think he'll have a great shot at winning a jury vote. So if anything, somebody like Hira, who already has a great shot with a jury, needs to lower his profile, especially mm-hmm. since it's still so early in the game. I do respect his thought process here. I do still disagree with him. Are you guys with me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think also the fact that a lot of guys are now gone from the game so early, I think that it would be best for him to not appear so threatening, because, you know, he's going to end up being a big giant target if he keeps winning competitions, and if all the other people who are winning competitions are leaving. It just seems dangerous. It's like, I get where he's coming from, where he's like, I want respect and I want all this stuff, but it's like, maybe it's too early for that. And also,
it was too early. There were 12 people left in the game. Like, yeah, what was he doing?
To already win two?
This was a terrible decision. Like, I mean, like, I you know, he's not going to have to pay for it. The game is over, whatever. But,
and I mean, you can
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you can see, look at, like, for example, Paris. Like, she didn't win any competitions until the very end. And people were still like, wow, she wins when she needs it. She's like, you know, very impressive. Like, they were impressed by that. You don't need to win every competition.
Yeah, people don't remember. Like, what the hell happened at the final 12? Like, that doesn't really matter for Hill of Beans. You can put it on your resume, sure, but you're going to, like, if you get to the end, you're going to have to win at least a couple competitions, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's what the people are going to remember. I just thought it was way too soon to win. Like, there's still 12. We weren't even a jury yet, for heaven's sake. And he's talking about, like, you're going to have so many more chances to win. HOH and veto. Like, come on, dude. Like, this is a bad call, but whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was his moment. Give him his moment.
I mean, hey, he won the last competition of the show. So.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it turned out to be the right call in hindsight, right? Now he's won two competitions.
Yep.
So
it was great. We got to see somebody like Kira play Big Brother when we haven't got to see a Sikh before on Big Brother, and at least, you know, Big Brother North American. And it was so great to see. He was so personable and so fun. And it was just great to see him on the feeds acting like, and I know he's like just a normal everyday person, but a lot of people out there are ignorant and dumb and they don't know things like that. So just to see him walking about the house and chatting with people about his, you know, family and his life, it was just, dude, I'm so bummed that we're not going to get to see how his story ends. That really chokes me up.
No, I saw a suggestion on Twitter. Obviously, this is just like a fan suggestion, but I saw that someone had said that there should be, for next season, they should take 7 people from, or 8 people or whatever it is from this season, and then either 8 new people or 8 people, like 8 people from other seasons, and have like, just like,
yeah, and that's never going to happen.
I know, but it just would be so nice. Like, we'd finally get to see, we'd let them continue on their story and their game. And I feel like it's not over for them yet, even though it is, but I feel like it shouldn't be.
Look, in a
at
world,
least for some of them.
In a world where, you know, like, you know, Young Justice comes back on, you know, TV, or the Clone Wars comes back, you know, 9 years later, anything can happen in production, in TV, right? Okay. But I would say that Big Brother Canada is, in all likelihood, completely and utterly done with this cast. It has been a disaster from day one, when Miko quit, all the way through to the end when Carol was trying to quit, and everything in between. So, I mean, maybe Sheldon, if it was like, maybe Brooke, if for an All-Stars cast. But there's no way they're going to bring back 8 people from this cast.
They should, though. There's enough for 8 people. Too bad. They should consider it. Production, if you're listening.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I really want to see that, because it, I mean, like, the only way
I would
Sheldon's
want them all brought back at once, because Sheldon and Brooke would be so screwed.
Exactly, Melissa. Why do we want to see that? We want to see freaking you know, Angie and Carol take it to the end.
No, you wouldn't have those people. I'm saying you'd get 8 people. You'd get
Rhianne and Angie.
Sheldon, Brooke, you'd get Min. Sue, Chris, Maddie.
Oh, Chris.
Rhianne, JL. Boom, done. Did I miss any? No, Hira. We got to replace one of them. One of them can leave. Hira goes in. Whatever. The point is that you could get a great cast out of that. Like, I don't want to see those people again.
Yeah. You'd have to spread it out, though. You'd have to play like Sheldon and Brooke on a season with new players. You'd have to go like,
hey, look, we
Hira
still liked Big Brother 7 when it was like half of Big Brother 6.
It was like 4 of them.
Yeah, whatever. There was like so many in there. Yeah, they outnumbered the other seasons by far.
Yeah, I guess you could put 4 at once. You could do 4 in a season.
Oh, Big Brother 7. Okay, I'm sorry. There's another Big Brother 7. Sorry. Okay, I'm with you now.
All right. Anything else that you guys want to bring up before we wrap this up?
I don't know. So what are our plans for the future, Taryn? Do we have anything on the agenda? Because I'm like, I think I speak for a lot of people in that I know I get a lot of people writing to us saying, you know, I love you guys. I love listening to you. Like, you know, the 3-hour roundtables are fun because I have something to listen to on my way back. And, you know, or even now people are bored as hell. So they love listening to the podcast. And, you know, with Big Brother going away, they're not going to have a chance to listen to us talk about that anymore. So I don't know. What are we doing?
Well, we will certainly try to provide as much content as we can. That one thing we're going to be doing is a Brant Steele simulation for the rest of how the season might have played out. We currently have that scheduled for the roundtable slot Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern next week before we see the final episode of the show. We're going to try and set something up with the simulation, get all the stats and alliances and relationships in as much as we can, and see how maybe it would have played out. It's mm-hmm. probably going to be the most we'll ever know about the most official result of the season that will ever be released is coming Tuesday night. So check that out.
Yeah, that's going to be the roundtable. So we're going to do the Brant Steele simulation in place of the roundtable next Tuesday night at what, 9 o'clock?
9 p.m. Eastern, yes.
9 p.m. Eastern.
And Mike Bloom will join us. Mike Bloom, yes. The czar of Brant Steele simulations. and then next Thursday, a week from now, we'll come back and we'll talk about the final episode of the show and you know, everything else. We'll wrap up anything else that we can, probably talk more gossip about what was on social media
because
there's nothing else to talk about. I felt weird doing it today on this podcast because I don't usually like care or talk about it much.
Yeah, Taryn doesn't get into the gossip. He's not listening to, like, you know, the People magazine rags or whatever. Yeah. You know?
So that's coming. And then once the season ends after next week, I will be reaching out and trying to get as many interviews in with these people as I can. So you can look out for that. I've also spoken to, you know, in the off season, Kevin Martin is interested in watching his season, Big Brother Canada 5,
yes,
for the first time. He's never actually watched it.
That's creepy.
So he says he's ready to watch it, and he thought it would be fun to sort of stream the experience. And so, you know, we got in touch, and we're looking to try and do something
together.
We got together.
In touch, as if you all don't talk every day.
so we talked about... We're still figuring out what to do and how to make that happen. But you can look forward to that. We're thinking just like an episode a day for a while. Just, you know, watch the season, talk about it. And then of course, there's Survivor still going on. I'm still doing, I just talked with Kevin, earlier. I almost said last night. It was literally like 3 hours ago, about yesterday's Survivor.
Did you see that tweet? I retweeted where the guy said, yeah, "Hi, today is Tuesday," or as we like to call it now, day.
I retweeted that.
That was really funny.
It's so funny. It's so true. I just feel like I have no idea what days are anymore because like the weekends are meaningless. Like everything's meaningless. It's just like, okay, one day melts.
I told my mom, I said, Mom, I said, Mom, I can come over this weekend. Like I have, like, I don't have to work. I'm like, but what are we going to do? Like,
You can't do anything. It's crazy.
Here's the trick, because I'm used to this stuff, is that I have a different dinner every night that I make. That every night is a specific dinner.
It's like the days of the week underwear.
Sure. I don't know what that means, but
you don't know what that means. Like when you were a little kid and you have like underwear that says the specific day of the week, so you like wear a different pair that says the day.
Yeah, I never had that.
Wow, guys. And not that I had it either, but...
I know what you're talking about, though. I know what
just
you're talking
saying.
About.
Yeah. I'm sure the chat knows what I'm talking about, right, chat?
All right. So... The Survivor, and then we'll absolutely be doing some off-season Big Brother content, especially since it's looking like Big Brother US will be delayed as well. That we'll try and get together regularly for just random off-season Big Brother podcasts. Rank the winners, update the winner rankings, there's a bunch of like random silly ideas that we've had, that we've considered before, so we can always just talk about dumb things like that. If you want more Big Brother content, you can stay tuned for it all. You can of course find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'll be on there to talk about various things. I think Brent and I will probably do something to talk about when he played Sequester Mini. We'll probably do something like that.
Can we find your Sequester Mini online to watch?
I mean, the problem is it's really meant to be watched live. I was having this conversation with somebody else. I don't even know if the videos are still technically available. And even if they are, like you have to like basically start all five rooms at the same time, and then you have to find the room that I'm in and follow me around. Like they're meant to be watched live. So like
Come find us on Twitch and we'll explain how the game went for Brent. Okay. That'll be a lot easier than trying to watch it, I think.
For real.
Yeah. Because yeah, exactly. I want to see it, but I don't know how. So
yeah.
I'll check out the Twitch.
All right. So check that out. We'll be talking about all sorts of things all over the place. So just stay tuned. If you follow me on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn, I will always be tweeting out anything that we're doing. So you can always stay updated there. You can find Brent at One Lucky Gay. You can find Melissa at It's Melissa with 3 A's. And, any final thoughts?
I'll just say this. I absolutely loved this cast when they were announced. Mm-hmm. Some really, really fun people. The first person that we got to meet was Chris, and he was an absolute blast. And then I think the second person was like Min Lee. And I was like, oh my God, I love these people. They're amazing. Oh my God. And literally I love almost everybody in the cast. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, I don't know how it went so wrong. I'm trying to like remove the fact that Jamar and Kyle were removed from the house because that was an error on production's part. I know that. We all know that, right? So I'm like, okay, if Nico quit, that was fine. And he was a ranked last in our draft anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay, bye. And then Michael got evicted, and we were at the time pretty happy about that because he was like, that was the guy that never gets evicted in Big Brother US. Like that, mm-hmm. The good looking, normal, like, showman, see you a buff white guy who's boring and talks about loyalty when he really has no loyalty at all. He has loyalty, but when it's convenient to him is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And then right around then is when, after Michael went home and we were in that week, then Jamar got pulled and then it all went downhill. And then of course the virus was happening at the same time. So like if Jamar doesn't get pulled and the virus isn't in our, if this isn't happening in the world right now, I still think this would have been a fantastic season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It sucks. We like, honestly, we're really missing out. This could have been like one of the best seasons we've seen. I mean, this is a great cast. When the cast was released, we were all super excited about it. And it has a lot of people that we don't normally see on Big Brother. So I feel like it was such a strong start. And I still feel like, yeah, if these external things didn't happen, we could have had an amazing season. And it just sucks that we're not going to get it.
Melissa, do you feel like that the cast, like in their heart of hearts, is actually bummed about this? I feel like most people like are okay with the way things went because like they're all winners right now. Like nobody lost the game. You know what I mean? They all just get to kind of end their story the way they want to and say, oh, well, whatever. Even though, in all likelihood, like I feel like the people that feel the worst are Sheldon and Brooke because they really knew where all the bodies were buried and they knew that they had a chance to take it to the end. But like if you're some rando like, Rianne, no offense, but you're like, are you really that mad? I don't know, I guess.
Well, I'm sure they are. I mean, they were all, like, they wanted to play for a reason and they were they were on TV and, this was their time to, experience the game. And, I'm sure there's already, the wheels are turning like, oh, I'm sure I would have done well if, So,
I mean, I bet everybody's upset, but I could absolutely see like that people like Brooke and Sheldon or people who really were like playing a very strong game and doing really well and knew that and they were really doing sucks. Well.
Yeah. Well, like, Melissa, the other thing that really sucks is that like everybody who is coming out of the house feels the need to qualify everything by saying, of course, we understand production's decision. Like, it's okay. It's okay to say, God damn it, I'm really mad. Like, it's okay to say that.
I have to say, I've been saying the same thing. Like, every time I talk about it, I'm like, no, like, I understand, like, health and safety, et cetera. Oh my God. But I'm super sad. So I can't blame them for doing that. Because, like, I don't want to sit there and be like, this is a terrible decision. Like, I wish they were all so what were they thinking? But, like, I have to be like, look, I get it. Like, I have to preface it with, look, I get it. Because, you know, if I didn't, people wouldn't understand that I was understanding and that I did get it. They would, you know, people on social media or whatever, they just like want to harp on everything. So if I just people said like, this sucks, I'm so upset. They'd be like, wow, Melissa, like you really want everyone in the crew to have to work and be in danger. Like that's really sad. And so
there's always that one person on Twitter. Yeah.
We right.
That,
exactly. Yeah. And so it's like, you always do.
Right. Always right do. Up until the end.
Always do.
I knew it froze. So
we're that close.
Yeah. Well, Brooke did tweet something out. She said that the show, having the show canceled is absolutely devastating. And that
that's good to hear. Actually, I mean, I know that sounds terrible, but like the fact that she says that actually makes me feel for her and gives me a sense of closure. Like because. By her feeling that, like, I connect with her and I have a sense of closure myself. So
And she also said that despite my constant state of self-deprecation and critical self-talk, I can say that I am truly proud of how I played, which I think she absolutely should be.
I can't wait to talk to her and see how surprised she would be to find out, and because I don't think she was aware of the fact that she was basically Sheldon's shield. And she was considered the alpha in the relationship, that she was controlling Sheldon and he was just doing her dirty work. Like I think she would be stunned to find that out.
I still want to know what Vanessa's deal was.
Yeah.
Yes.
That too.
All right.
Vanessa. Got your paddle.
So that's what we have for you guys tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you I guess on Tuesday, unless you hang out with me on Twitch at some point or whatever. But we will be back and we'll see you then.
All right. Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.